Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Jeffrey Clark and John Solomon. We talk about Lawfare. We talk about the vice presidential selection and how many children are missing. What if I told you over 85,000 children that we know of have gone missing in this country? That should be the number one story in the country. 85,000 children. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and become a member today. members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Got a wonderful email here from Cindy, one of our listeners. Charlie, this year I'll be voting for Trump for the third time in a presidential election, and I got my husband to register for the first time, Trump 2024. God bless you, Cindy. That's right. You find one new voter. You've just multiplied your, you have doubled your impact. If everybody in this audience found one new voter, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a niece, a nephew, a husband, a friend, a neighbor, and then do it again. That right there, the husband is a no-brainer. Right there. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you flip a voter, that is plus two. If you find a former Biden voter from 2020, that is plus two votes. Joining us now is Jeffrey Clark, senior fellow for Center for Renewing America, former assistant attorney general. I want to talk about the immunity decision and more. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. Talk about the implications of the immunity decision when it comes to the Lawfare against Trump. Tell us all about it.
Sure, Charlie. Well, great to be with you. And look, I'm a big fan and admirer of yours. I think you're really good at distilling lots of complicated battles across the entire political field down to understandable terms. So let me try to do that here for the immunity decision. So this immunity decision, Trump v. United States, that the Chief Justice wrote for the court for a six-justice majority is truly a tour de force. And it repairs to the back to the original Constitution and what the framers intended for the presidency to look like. And as a result of that, it brushes off a lot of the barnacles that have grown up since then that the left has been relying on to hold the president back, to try to do things like cast the Justice Department as if it's independent of the president when it's anything but. Precisely because the Justice Department is where the law gets enforced, where federal law gets enforced, and the president is the chief law enforcement officer of the country, not the attorney general, not some newfangled guy created just a couple of decades like a special counsel like Jack Smith. So the Supreme Court establishes that President Trump has immunity for his official acts in two categories, and then that he would not have immunity for any unofficial private conduct. The two separate categories of official conduct are that he has absolute immunity when he is acting within the span of his core constitutional responsibilities. So that includes things like granting pardons, like being the commander in chief, but also seeing that the laws be faithfully executed. There's something called the Take Care Clause. The president takes care that the laws are faithfully executed. Those are federal statutes, federal regulations. When President Trump or any president does that, they are absolutely immune. And then for any other categories of executive action that are not covered by core constitutional responsibilities out to the outer perimeter of the office. So this includes also speaking to the public, such as President Trump did on January 6th. There he would have presumptive immunity, Charlie. So these, you know, three categories that the Supreme Court has created, I think, have always been there within the logic of the Constitution, but it's great to see Chief Justice Roberts write for the majority to set them up and to establish them. I think, it, you know, in part, this was designed to get rid of the lawfare against President Trump. And I think that's one of the very important implications of this decision, as I'm sure you'll want to go through.
Yeah. And I mean, you've also been a target and a hero throughout all of this. They raided your home and they've tried to implicate you into a lot of these different lawfare operations. And so the Democrats are now saying that we have an imperial presidency and that Donald Trump could do whatever he wants if he returns back to the Oval Office. Is that what this decision said?
No, that's not what this decision said. And as I just tweeted out earlier this morning about Justice Thomas's concurrence, he deals with the fact that the Appointments Clause of the Constitution lets the president fill offices, but he cannot create offices. One of the great powers of English despotism in the 18th century, you know, King George against us, and as it's recounted in the Declaration of Independence, is that he created swarms of officers and then he sent them to eat us out of our substance here in the colonies, right? That principle obviously means that the president has less power than a king. And yet you see Justice Thomas championing it in this immunity decision. That's just one example of the fact that we're not going to get an imperial presidency as a result of this. What we're not going to get is a distracted presidency, Charlie, a presidency in which the president always has to be looking over his shoulder of what happens when someone from the other party comes in and they start trying to turn everything I do into a criminal act. And in a word, essentially, what happens if they practice lawfare against me? So this decision, I think, is hopefully full immunity against lawfare, but it's not an excuse for the president to do anything and everything. And we know that all of these far-fetched hypotheticals, like, you know, President Trump using SEAL Team 6, et cetera, this is just the nonsense that the left creates as noise to distract, you know, a public that's increasingly, not coming from a background of you know, having learned the Constitution, which everyone really should read for themselves and study so that they can push back against these narratives they create on the MSNBCs of the world.
Well, and understand, and Jeffrey, you've been talking about this a lot in the wonderful organization Center for Renewing America, that the Chevron case as well was a constitutional intent decision, was that you cannot have a lawmaking body that is just created ex nihilo called the administrative state. And it needs to fit within the form and the structure. Can you kind of give our audience some understanding? And then I want to go even deeper into the immunity decision. But the cadence that we are getting from this court is that they're going back to originalist structural interpretations. These are not overly partisan or every overly political rulings like Roe versus Wade was 50 or 60 years ago. This is just, okay, does it fit within the original structure of the Constitution? These decisions in a normal country should be 9-0, correct, Jeffrey?
They should. And look, this new Chevron-related decision is called Loper-Bright, and it was brought by some fishermen, where basically the Department of Commerce was forcing fishermen to pay for their own chains, to pay for their own monitoring devices so that they could enforce, you know, fish catch limits against them. And the Supreme Court struck down that, and in the course of striking that down, they also struck down the Chevron doctrine, which goes back to the mid-1980s, but in reality has, you know, precursors before that. And what it did was it essentially took the executive branch and made the executive branch in charge of creating the law, even in situations where Congress had not just delegated to the executive branch the power to issue regulations, but even in situations where the statutes were silent, they didn't say anything. The Supreme Court in Chevron would read into that silence an implicit delegation to the agencies, therefore to the executive branch, to make up law. Now, this is completely unconstitutional, has been, as I've testified to Congress in the past before the Trump administration got started, a violation of a principle as simple as Marbury versus Madison, right? This, our separation of powers says, and this is, you know, the great language of Chief Justice Marshall, that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. So that is the responsibility of the courts to say what the law is when they read a federal statute, not the responsibility of the executive branch. So while on the one hand you have, yes, you know, a Joyce Reid yelling about the immunity decision, saying it's creating an imperial precedent. With the other hand, the Supreme Court is saying, oh, we're taking away the Chevron doctrine, which takes away tools that the president used to have. And so, you know, as I'd explained, you know, to my Twitter followers, my ex-followers, you know, that means that you'd have to assess the net effect of these two decisions. And they're not, I think, on balance to increase presidential power. I think, if anything, they would decrease presidential power. The court is not looking to create an imperial president, Charlie. That's just a myth.
Yes. Again, there's been so much coverage on the Biden garbage that, remember, the Supreme Court is a lagging indicator, not a leading indicator. Donald Trump's defeat in 8 years ago of Hillary Clinton is now resulting in historic constitutional victories in what could be best summarized as the Thomas Court.
America is facing real danger, the kind of danger only real Americans are ready for. What makes a real American? A defender of truth, a freedom fighter, someone who knows what's coming and knows that the government will not help. Real Americans prepare with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans gear up for emergencies. Today, their popular 4-week emergency food kit can't stay out of customers' carts. Get yours right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. Order as many kits as you need and save $50 on each one, free shipping included. Stock up on those essential food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. Again, over 2,000 calories a day. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. And so make sure that you guys can feed your family in a time of need at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com.
Just got another email here from one of our listeners. Janet says, I just flipped 3 voters the other day and 2 of my coworkers. I love it. And they were Biden supporters. Charlie, I love your show. Love all you're doing for the country. I wanted to tell you, I flipped a voter at our local pizza shop the other night. She told me her husband's going to vote for Trump too, and they were formerly Biden voters. I live in Pennsylvania, 1 mile from the Allegheny County border. So there's definitely a lot of blue around here, but you can feel people are having a change of heart. I talk to people all the time. God bless you, Monica. If you are not comfortable registering voters because you don't know how to do it, then the next best thing is just find new voters and get into a flipping mode. All summer, find new voters. Find new voters. Find new voters. Jeffrey Clark continues with us from the Center for Renewing America. So, Jeffrey, they have delayed the sentencing for Donald Trump's sham Soviet show trial to the fall. What do you make of that decision by Judge Mershon?
I think that was Judge Mershon, Charlie, just seeing the writing on the wall. Because one aspect of the immunity decision we haven't talked about yet is that it creates a set of evidentiary protections. And in particular, which is, you know, good for me personally, having, you know, fought a slog for 3.5 years since I left the administration against the D.C. bar and then eventually against Fani Willis. Good for me. At the core of that is the Justice Department, right? So if the president's talking to the attorney general, acting attorney general, deputy attorney general, other high-ranking officials like I was, or considering changes in the department, like, you know, putting me in charge of it, all of those things are protected and they cannot be introduced as evidence in proceedings. And the problem for the Jack Smiths of the world, and also for Alvin Bragg and now for Fani Willis as well, is that back in the Alvin Bragg case, which you started with, evidence was introduced about actions and discussions that were taken in the Oval Office. And that's now verboten after Trump v. United States. So, you know, the Judge Mershon, Alvin Bragg, Matthew Colangelo, the whole crew up there in Manhattan, they're in a pickle because the trial has been tainted. I suspect what they're going to try to do, Charlie, is they're going to try to say that that's all harmless error, right? That most of the conduct predated Donald Trump assuming the presidency, and therefore it's outside the span of immunity as something that is private conduct. But, you know, they're the ones who messed it up. I mean, they poured prejudicial material from the post inauguration period for Donald Trump into the trial. And I don't see how you can continue with the trial. I think Donald Trump at the very least needs a completely new trial. And I think that's why he punted the sentencing date.
And the elements, they unnecessarily included information that could have been fallen under presidential acts. And so the whole thing could be thrown out. And so, yes. So Jeffrey, just from an understanding, the Georgia case, what is the latest with the Georgia case? It has been all silence on the Western front. What, any developments? Is that even going to proceed? What's going on there?
So it might appear silence to, the larger media world, but certainly if you're one of the defendants in the case, it's not been all silence. So here's the status of that. So we had moved, nine of us, to disqualify Fani Willis. And as you will no doubt remember, Judge McAfee, the trial judge in Superior Court in Fulton County, he ruled that, there was a problem. There's an appearance of impropriety between her and Nathan Wade, her boyfriend. And so one of them's got to go. Not both of them. One of them's got to go. And, not surprisingly, the inferior official, Nathan Wade, the boyfriend, is the one who resigned, leaving her in place. And she's, elected. And so, of course, she was never going to be the one to step down if she was given a choice. And I don't see how possibly it's not, in parallel for the two of them. The two of them are the ones who created the conflict of interest. So they both should have to go. So after that decision, the nine of us appealed to the Georgia Court of Appeals. And the Georgia Court of Appeals put in pretty short order a stay on that case. So nothing can proceed in the trial court against the nine of us. And that caused Judge McAfee to say, well, I'm going to go forward with the defendants who did not take that disqualification appeal. One of them went to the Court of Appeals and asked specifically, could we have the benefit of the stay that's benefiting the appealing defendants? And the Court of Appeals said yes. So at current, we're in the briefing process. We filed our opening brief. President Trump filed his opening brief. Others of the nine did. And then there's been an extension requested for a while by Fani Willis's people to respond to that brief. Then we'll file a reply brief. And then the court has said they're going to hear oral argument in that case in October, Charlie.
Very good. Well, Jeffrey, we wish you the best. And how can people support you?
Sure. Well, follow me on Jeff Clark US on X, and then givesendgo.com/Jeff Clark. Thanks, Charlie.
Everyone help out if you can. Jeffrey, thank you so much.
Okay, I've never seen a discount this huge from Balance of Nature, and this discount is for a limited time. So today is the day to order it. Look, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you've heard me rave about Balance of Nature's amazing fruits and vegetables and their supplements. You've heard their customers rave about how much they love Balance of Nature and how good it is to and makes them feel. If you've been on the fence about ordering, today is the day you jump the fence, because right now, for a limited time, Balance of Nature is taking 50% off your first set as a preferred customer during the summer savings promotion. But you've got to use my special code when ordering. Take their risk-free money-back challenge today. Use discount code CHARLIE to get 50% off your first order. Call 800-246-8751 or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code CHARLIE to get 50% off. This is an extraordinary offer. Get 50% off your first set today.
I was just reading this this new tweet. This is unbelievable. This is from a Politico reporter for Axios. John Fetterman tells me he, quote, plans to put a banana up Bennett's tailpipe later today. It's a real quote. Steph Knight from Axios. John Fetterman plans to put a banana up Senator Bennett's tailpipe later today. I thought Pride Month ended 10 days ago. The emails are flooding in. The amount of hard work you guys are doing to find new voters. Charlie, I flipped my mom, a lifelong Democrat, when I proved that Democrats want to abort babies in the ninth month. She is now a proud Trump supporter and registered as a Republican who watches your show every morning. God bless you and keep up the great work. You see, they, based on our team's analysis and analytics, they say about 1.5 million to 2 million people watch the program or see clips or listen to the podcast every day, this show, which is very touching. That is a mighty force. And by the way, that's not just passive listeners. You guys are on the ball. You guys are activists. If every single one of you flip, let's say, one voter a week, if you're not comfortable with the voter registration thing and it's too complicated and it's filling out forms, that's fine. I still encourage you to do it. But this is easy. Going from no tax on tips to asking questions, wearing the hat. The hat is the magnet hat. Engage in the conversation. Show the Turning Point Action app. You think Democrats right now are wearing their Biden gear? How many Democrats are currently wearing Joe Biden hats. Does Joe Biden even have a campaign hat? I'm not being facetious. What is the Joe Biden campaign hat? Do they have one? I think I've seen, I have seen some Joe Biden bumper stickers. I have seen some Joe Biden, I guess you could say, yard signs here or there. We now have an opportunity to play offense and to run up the score, to chase ballots like never before, to register voters. And finding new voters consists of doing the work. Karen says, Charlie, I have a plus one. My fiance never bothered to vote. I said, are you kidding me? He is now. He knows how crucial it is. Every vote counts. We need it to be too big to rig. We love you guys. Great job. And we love and need President Trump. America needs him. So this is the lowest hanging fruit. The lowest hanging fruit is as follows. It is finding people that are your kids, your cousins, people you hang out with that aren't registered, and you own your circle. You own your circle. And so what we're going to start kind of telling you guys to do is you write down the five names, you write down the 10 names, especially if they're former Biden voters. Joining us now is the legendary John Solomon, great American patriot, and also my fellow host here on Real America's Voice. John, welcome to the program. John, I want to start just out of the gate. Based on all the sourcing and all the reporting that you have been doing, do you think Joe Biden remains in the race as of today, this moment, this minute?
I think Joe Biden is going to fight to stay in, and it's going to be a long, bloody battle tonight. Or this is a little while ago, Democrats canceled a fundraiser in Chicago, sending a message they want him out. I think he's going to fight to stay in. I think Donald Trump is surging in the polls, but I think Joe Biden is going to stay in as long as he can and either force his party to remove him either through litigation or through a power move at the convention or get them to cow to his will and stay in the race. And I think there are some reasons for this. There are people in the Biden circle who don't believe the only natural successor to him, Kamala Harris, is ready for prime time. There are places they've sent her. She has failed. And so they have a concern, and they realize they can't skip over her in the DEI world that the Democratic Party created for itself. So I think he's going to stubbornly hang in, but this will get uglier. This will look a lot like the 1968 or the 1980 conventions, where the Democrats go into their convention disunited, giving an enormous advantage to the Republican candidate.
You know, it sounds, it's almost too good to be true for those of us who want to see President Trump, you know, win another term here. So I want to get into some of your reporting here that I think is really important in some of your recent stories, especially the one that came out in the last day, or I think it was yesterday. Health and Human Services whistleblower details harrowing fates as migrant children face due to Biden's open border. Tell us about this story. And additionally, John, it seems as if that there is this issue of tens of thousands of missing children. Tell us about it.
Yeah, 85,000 is the number that Congress has been given. 85,000 children who came to this country mostly at the behest of the cartels without their parents. They were trafficked here without their parents. They came into the country since Joe Biden opened up the borders, and the HHS no longer knows where they are, even though they're the custodian and placed them in the hands of custodian. But what we got yesterday, two whistleblowers. They first talked to Senator Grassley and Senator Johnson, and they've talked to me on my podcast today. They'll be coming on the TV show at 6 o'clock. These whistleblowers say that the Biden administration and its Health and Human Services Department, when they process these children, that's the agency that does it, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, they didn't care who they were placing them with. All they wanted to do is create an assembly line to get them out so that they wouldn't be holding the cages. Why is this important? Remember back when Donald Trump was president and the left made a big deal. Oh, he's abusing migrant children. Look, they're in cages. We're in a far worse scenario now. Rather than in temporary living quarters, they're being placed with people who aren't being fully vetted. Not only do these whistleblowers tell that story, they talk about being pressured to just simply process a person. Don't worry whether they vetted the person they're going to. There's a moment where one of these whistleblowers actually discovers that she's the home that they're placing them in is likely a human trafficking home. And she reports it to her bosses. What do her bosses do? Rather than stop that, try to solve that problem, they take away her access so she can't screen any more of the sponsors, the recipients of these children on U.S. soil. What a remarkably callous thing. She eventually gets her status back because she reports to the Inspector General of the Homeland Human Health and Human Services Department, who says, hey, you have to give her access to these databases back because she's supposed to be protecting these children. These whistleblowers aren't alone. The Inspector General of the Health and Human Services Department says thousands of children likely have been placed in homes without proper screening with sponsors who haven't been fully vetted, and that this is a safety crisis for all of these children that Joe Biden encouraged to come to this country often without their parents. They're the most vulnerable of vulnerable children. They're foreigners. They have no parents. They're at the mercy. They come here at the behest of the cartels or at the trafficking of the cartels. And the Biden administration can't even get it right when they get to our border. And then there's one other element I want to remind, because this is painful stuff that people don't want to talk about in Washington. She interviewed a lot of these children who related to her what happened to them on their journey when they're in the custody of the cartels. Yes, they were sexually assaulted. Yes, they were forced into labor that isn't appropriate for children under the age of 18. Yes, they're told that they have to pay off their debts when they get here, and they don't know what that means. Does that mean having sex? Does that mean doing some form of indentured servitude until they pay off their debts? It's the most inhumane way that any child could ever enter the country, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris created that pathway.
This is so unbelievable. 85,000 missing children is what the government has reported to Congress. Have we ever seen numbers like that? And that is at least, so again, we had AOC pretending to cry in front of kids in cages, 89, you can show up on screen. I hope everyone understands that, you know, we get lectured all the time that there was slavery in this country back in the 1600s, which of course was evil and awful. John, sure. Is it fair in your reporting to summarize that part of these children and part of these people are in a modern day form of slavery?
At the hearing yesterday that Senators Johnson, Grassley, and Cassidy held, they talked about labor trafficking, that these children are being forced to come here and do work on behalf of people, whether it's the cartels or allies of the cartels, to pay off their debts. No child should have their entry into the United States be that experience. Their pathway here shouldn't be with drug cartels. There's nothing good that a drug cartel will be able to do with a child in its custody. It is the most harrowing experience that a young child could have, and they're without their parents while they're on this journey. These are all unaccompanied minors. There is no more horrific way that I could think of that a young child trying to make its way to the United States, his or her way to the United States, could go than the way Joe Biden has forced upon these families. It is extraordinary. The testimony of these whistleblowers is so extraordinary. And at least in those temporary holding facilities that the Trump administration and all presidents before them, including President Obama, used, there was some security. There was some eyes on the children. We are placing them and losing them, and we do not know who has custody of those children. Congressman Glenn Grothman of Wisconsin has done an extraordinary work. Ron Johnson, Chuck Grassley, Bill Cassidy, extraordinary work. The Democratic media, the Democratic members of Congress who shed alligator tears a few years ago, absolute silence. They are silent to what is a horrific scourge being placed upon these children.
John, excellent reporting. I just hope everyone understands that there are tens of thousands of potential labor slaves, sex slaves of children that have been trafficked across the southern border, and Joe Biden is solely responsible. Mayorkas is responsible. We like to say, oh, wow, our past in America, we used to have slavery, now we don't. No, we have more slaves today than ever before, thanks to Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. I guess they've always remained the party of slavery. And this is all, by the way, to avoid a bad PR moment of keeping them out of holding facilities. But, you know, childs as sex slaves, they seem okay with that.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new 4-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, they're premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
Plug whatever you'd like, John, so our audience can hear it. Of course, you should watch every night. I watch all the time on Real America's Voice. You do such a great job.
Thank you. It's a great network, and I'm so proud to share the stage with you every day. Listen, what you were talking about before we came into this, early voting, so important. We got to get everybody who's sitting on the sidelines to vote. No matter which way you vote, it's important. You can't sit on the sidelines. You can't win a football game on the bench. Everybody has to do it. What you're team is doing at TPUSA is remarkable. There's other people out there right now, but this will be the biggest game changer to conservative politics in a quarter century if we execute it properly.
I totally agree. Project Z with Lee Zeldin and America First Works, a lot of great groups out there doing the work, getting out. And the audience, I got to tell you, John, our audience is activating. They're finding new voters, registering them. We're changing the culture because remember, what do we say in this program? Election Day is the last day of voting. Election Day is the last day of voting, not the first day. So, John, you have some new reporting on Donald Trump's potential vice presidential selection. There are a lot of rumors, a lot of whispers. The predicted markets now have Senator J.D. Vance as the favorite. Donald Trump has one rally scheduled before the convention, which begins on Monday. John, what is your reporting telling you?
Yeah, listen, I think J.D. Vance is the folks most people around the president think will probably get it. I think Marco Rubio is probably in the mix. Doug Burgum might be in the mix. I wouldn't be surprised if Glenn Youngkin comes in and out of the conversation just because he brings interesting attributes for purple states. But I'm going to take the president at his word. When he came on the show the day after Christmas this past year, and I asked him, what are you looking for? Because at that time, it was the Nikki Haley train everyone was on. And he said, listen, I don't believe a vice president brings any votes or states. I got to do that myself. The best thing I can owe the American people is not do to the country what Joe Biden did with Kamala Harris. Pick someone who clearly is not capable of being the president. The only attributes I'm looking for is someone that could step into my job and command this country and do a great job, and I'm going to focus on that. And the great thing about the list that he has, and maybe some people that aren't even being talked about, all of them, it's a deep, rich bench of people who have proven experience. They can communicate. They have command capabilities. They have leadership skills. They understand the world we are in, and all of them understands the change to conservatism that Donald Trump has brought. This is the single biggest revision to the conservative movement in the Republican Party in a half century. Ronald Reagan changed it in the aftermath of Barry Goldwater. Donald Trump has transformed that into the modern day Reagan Party, but with a Trump 2.0 doctrine that is really set for our times. And I think whoever he picks is going to have to be able to run that mantle, because he said to me, I'm not going for 4 years. I'm going for 12 years. My successor has 8 more to finish up my work. And so very important. I think the only qualification he's looking at is who can be the most compelling president. And he's got an embarrassment of riches to pick from. One other thing I've learned, the people around President Trump literally do not know. No one's even in his inner circle knows who it's going to be. That tells you something about the president's ability to keep a secret.
I can attest to that. No, I don't know. No one knows. I've tried to get answers. Yeah. It's a major guessing game. It is anybody's guess.
The circle of
right
one.
Now. That's right. There's only one person who knows. So John, I want you to repeat what we were talking about. If Republicans and conservatives embrace early voting and understand that Election Day is the last day of voting, not the only day of voting, and we talk about Project Z and America First Works and, you know, Turning Point Action, what does that mean? Just analytically, what would that look like if we fully embrace voting month?
I believe that there are 1 million to 2 million people in the swing counties that will decide this election who are on the sidelines and could be put into the game. They lean and almost certainly embrace most of the policies that President Trump is talking about, that the Republican Party stands for, and that brand new, very clear platform. And they just can't vote on Election Day. Listen, there are small business owners who can't find workers in the Biden economy, so they're opening their shop at 6 and closing it at 9. They can't escape to vote on Election Day. Get them to file early on a Saturday or Sunday. They can do it. There are moms and dads who pulled their kids from these woke schools who are homeschooling their children. They may not be able to vote on Election Day. They could show up on a Saturday, Sunday, or mail in their ballot. I think it's a swing of 1 to 2 million people in just 19 to 25 counties, the counties that will decide this election, that could profoundly there. And I give you some examples that I've seen. I think you've talked about them. I've seen Lee Zeldin and Ashley Hayek and others talk about it. There are like 70,000 registered gun owners in Wisconsin who didn't vote in 2020, who voted in 2016. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the race was only lost by 20,000. Right. It is a game changer. The Democrats have mastered this. And I got to say, I had one of your young workers who's on the ground doing vote chasing in Wisconsin. And the relationship he's building with these people, I like what you're doing, Charlie. You're not going out and just doing a transaction at the door. You're building relationships and you're building opportunities that voter might not just be a 2024 voter, a 26, 28, 30, 32 voter. You're building relationships with the group that you're working with in TP Action. I'm just so impressed. That's what we Democrats have been doing for 6 years. This is the year Republicans not only catch up, they might exceed it.
John, I hope so. If we fully embrace it with the low prop movement and Donald Trump's message, it's the math looks good. John, thank you so much. Excellent work. And I hope to see you in Milwaukee if you'll be there.
Absolutely, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.